I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, I'm John Holmes, and each week myself, Mark Haynes, and a guest sit and discuss and analyse some television. So far, so podcast. But the difference is that we discuss a particular corner of television that you've never watched, and nor will you ever, because it's awful. That's right, it's TV's The One Show. Join us as we gleefully take it apart every week, taking a deep dive into TV's shallowest programme. You don't have to like The One Show or have ever seen it. To be honest, it's probably best if you don't and haven't. So join us as we take the bullet for you in what The Guardian says the creme de la creme of obscure stuff to stick in your ears, the big issue call really funny, and Pop Bitch Right is a joy. The One Show Show, wherever you... Oh, you know the rest.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Let's have a look at Dancers number 5, the wonderful John and Johannes. They did their American Smooth. What was interesting about this is how they set it up.
Yeah.
And they weren't saying, you know, you need to compete against, you know, people on this show. You're basically competing against the previous week's performance that you do,
yes,
which is
they
so
really
good.
Are now.
They're now just having to compete against themselves.
Completely.
I did notice this year, and it's a shame in some ways. What we don't really have is we don't have similar couples who are really good.
No, so, I know what you mean.
In previous years, you know, we've had sort of Kelvin and Oti, and then we had Karim and Amy, and they both had the young man with the sort of, you know, determined to win it partner.
Yeah.
2 years ago this would have been, and they were competing against each other. This year, all of the top contenders for me, you've got Reese, you've got AJ, and then you've got John.
Yeah.
And they bring very, very different things, and what we don't
yes,
have
you're
is
right.
similar people who are trying
final.
To go yeah head to head to knock each other out, which I sort of miss in a way, with everyone
you,
being
you
so
the,
distinct. Yeah,
the competitiveness. Yeah, I think there's room for all of them at the moment, isn't there? I think.
Yeah,
it's a nice rest for your eyes to see different styles of dancing. Like, if I had to watch three Reese and Nancys, I'd probably have an aneurysm because that's too much frenetic movement, one dance after another for me. But I like they basically suit different dances.
Yeah,
but this dance, I loved it, and I kind of finished it with a big grin on my face. It was I knew you were waiting. Brilliant song.
Yeah.
And it was really emotional. I loved the bit in the training video because Johannes doesn't really ever get lifted in this.
And he got emotional. So it was lovely.
John is the big boy. Yeah, he lifted him up and he said, it really strikes me how much you have to trust someone when you're being lifted, and all the times I've done that. It gives him a different perspective. It was really lovely to see. But it was kind of a weird dance.
Yeah.
There was lots of American Smooth in there, but I think the bits, and Craig sort of was surprisingly the one who massively objected to it, I think, because it was so hard to pin down. But there were bits where it almost looked like they'd stopped dancing for a minute and they're just sort of bopping for a second or having a fag outside a bar.
Yeah.
And then back into more beautiful shapes and incredible solo spots. But it had some strange disjointed bits that didn't seem to be part of
disjointed
the same dance.
Is absolutely the word, Julie. Yeah, absolutely. It lacked a sort of.
I still loved it.
Same here. I thought it was good, but it wasn't as emotional as last week. But then you can't have that every week. But,
oh God, they have to have some variation because it's. I mean, the stakes are too high for them already. Really, aren't they?
Yeah, but it didn't seem to. It lacked build and it lacked focus.
Focus definitely. It wasn't building towards a thing.
No, and Craig did really make that clear, and I thought it was probably some of the best judging he's done, which is that he was like, I can tell it's really good, but he said, but it didn't come together and it was odd storytelling and it needed more work. And it really did feel like that.
I don't think 6 was quite fair, because I think he was marking the dance, the choreography, rather than what John was doing. What John was doing was still, I thought, exquisite.
Yeah.
And the shapes he made were lovely. He did say there was gapping in hold, but I guess that's, you know, something again as
noticed. And even though I am appalling at that and I just watch it and I go, the pretty movement, I did sort of go, well, they're a bit sort of like weirdly spaced, and that was the gapping.
It wasn't as finessed and beautiful as they have been.
No,
and I just think with something with an American Smooth, it's so it's kind of romantic, and I thought, oh, good, they're gonna, you know, enjoy that. But there was almost like a slightly chaste, perhaps an intention to kind of slightly turn down the romance on this one.
Well, yeah, and to show and that, that, that they like, aren't well, just. You know,
he kept on winking and like, you know, wagging his finger at him like, come over here. And it was sort of cute and cheeky, but I thought, no, an American Smooth, is that the right character for the dance? I didn't think they found the character.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if that had been done by a male and a female dancer,
yeah,
then they would have probably played up the innocent nature of it a bit more. You
exactly.
know, that you would have had it being coy, you know.
Yeah.
You could almost, you know, it would be the girl in Gingham with pigtails, wouldn't it?
Oh, exactly.
And I was just sort of thinking, you probably can't do it where, you know, one of John and Johannes is dressed as a schoolboy, you know.
Well, I mean, probably just, not.
I think, you know, are we ready for that? No, is the answer.
I don't think we'll ever be ready for that.
But my favourite bit was Craig just saying, I mean, bits of it look like he was just dancing outside heaven, you know, by which he was referring to the club in London. Yeah. Mm. Motsy has never heard of the club in London because she immediately sort of said, I mean, she said, like Craig said, you know, some of it was like a dance in heaven. And a very,
you mean the same
very heaven? Different versions.
Very different.
Very different versions.
It's less sweaty in actual heaven, I think.
Yeah. I think what was important about this one was the judging, which was, you know, I mean, they got a 6, 7, and 2 8s for 29.
Yeah.
I mean, that put them on the same as Tom and Amy's Foxtrot, which is...
I think with all respect to Craig, 6 is bullshit.
Yeah.
John clearly danced a lot better than a 6.
Yeah, but I think what was clear to them and clear to us at home is that this did not matter because there is absolutely no way they are going to end up in the dance-off.
Not a chance.
And that was a relief to hear. I was pleased about that.
Me too.
I liked the little video as well where they were going on a sort of walk over the Pennines, the two of them, because I felt that actually with that one, whenever we'd seen Katya and... Nicola Adams before,
yeah,
they always very much did it that, you know, the two of them were not in close proximity.
There was that stick, 2 meter long stick.
Yeah,
you.
Yeah.
either end.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the times. I suppose it was during lockdown, wasn't it? So it may have been more that. But I felt that what they did here was they just sort of showed that they were tactile in public, and they didn't feel any need to sort of go, come on, lads, you know, hands under the covers, you know, where I can see.
They're also, and they also, you know, sometimes make a point of, you know, John's clearly in a very long-standing relationship with his partner, and they usually do mention John's boyfriend at some point.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to kind of, it's like, oh, we're here because it holds a special place for me and my partner. So he is kind of, you know, inserting his own bolster in the bed, if you like.
Yeah, and do you know what? I watched it and I thought, it is hard for me to think where in mainstream television, you know, the issue of sexuality is dealt with openly and frankly and absolutely as normally as it is on Strictly. And
every time I see them dance, I kind of, it's still striking, and it's still I still find it quite moving that we're here and this is Saturday night and it's the BBC and they're just not pissing about anymore. They're actually just making this normal. It's just wonderful.
Yeah, isn't it? Oh, it is. And, you know, I think it's one of those things that it seems important now, but I think in years to come, people will look back on that and it will just seem magical, you know.
Completely.
That they managed to do it without any heavy-handedness, without any apology, which of course you don't need. And I do think, you know, the two people doing it are just incredibly talented, and just, it's lovely to see.
It's really such a pleasure, isn't it?
I have said this before, but I do enjoy the fact that so many people, you know, on social media had that thing of sort of going, I will not be watching while this thing is going on. And I think, good, it's not for you.
Bugger off.
I hope you're enjoying whatever's on ITV, which is probably something like The Chase.
Good luck with that.
Dance number 6 was Reese and Nancy doing their salsa.
So this, for me, was, I mean, obviously, they are faster than, you know, sometimes the human eye can even keep up with.
Yeah.
So many tricks in this.
As Shirley said, you know, you moved like shit off a shovel.
She did say that, didn't she, Mark? Yeah, I remember that distinctly. But they did find fault with some of the technique because it was so fast. She said there should be more rotation, tidy up the feet, you know, polish it, all that stuff. But I think there's always a couple like this. They're always the youngest, rubberiest, springiest, kind of shorter stature couple. Usually a kids' TV presenter, because Karen was very much like this as well. But it's almost goes beyond being enjoyable to watch into actually, I'm just a bit tired.
Yeah.
Because it's so fast and so determined to wow you with stunts that, yeah, they probably are missing a bit of technique, and they are I think she's trying to pack the routines just slightly too full.
It's like the opening of non-Disney Pixar kids films.
Yes.
Where everything is just going, and it's full on, and it's
too much
impossible
color, too much
to follow.
Sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was one of those things that was odd to me, which is it felt like they would come out at 100 miles an hour and they would do one of the classic dances. But
yeah.
As part of this, like, 60% week, it was a not classic dance to a not classic song.
Don't even remember the song. In fact, I think I do vaguely remember my kids saying, oh, I hate this song. So it must be something that's big on TikTok or something.
About,
I think it kind of put them off the dance then.
About popcorn. And, you know, this is popcorn. You know, you sort of eat it and you just sort of go, oh, I got to the end of that. Feel
I'm
a bit nauseous.
Exactly.
Anton did sort of say he thought this was a bit big for a salsa and it should have been tighter. And
more compact.
Yeah, whereas Craig actually sort of went, I felt that was quite refreshing. I was glad you didn't just do the normal salsa.
But then he's like, that completely contrasts with the fact that he didn't like the American Smooth that Johannes and John did because it wasn't a proper... Like, he's not very consistent, this sort of series, I don't think.
No, not at all. And again, I sort of felt like, is he just a bit, at this stage, a bit bored? And
possibly.
Is it when he sees something and sort of goes, well, that was different, he goes, well, give an extra mark for that.
He was, again, this is a high marking one for Craig, so he joined Anton and Motsi with an 8, and Shirley actually gave him a 7.
Because
she was picking up on the technical stuff. But obviously it was a wow of a dance. He is just so fast and so
athletic. I thought he was the better dancer than Nancy here.
Thought
he really, you could see Nancy was watching his feet to follow him, and whether that was holding her back by a couple of degrees or whatever, but I felt he moved better than she did.
Bloody hell.
Just knockout. They were marked one mark below Tilly and Nikita.
That's mad.
Just ridiculous.
No.
And
see, again, that doesn't work at all.
No, this is also the week, isn't it, really? And you can see this with John and Johannes, where they begin saying, so all the good people, we're going to take you down a peg or two.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the thing where we start saying, you think you're good, don't you? Well, actually, you need to work a lot harder.
I feel like we have this conversation every year.
We do.
I'm having deja vu. Yeah.
We do. And this is very much the week where they go, all right, you know, everything's been going well for you. Well, I've got news for you. You're not great.
Wipe that smug smile off your face.
Yeah, it's absolutely the sort of thing that, you know, I believe you would read in some kind of book about negging dating systems, that you go, you're so good. And do you know how I'm going to make it even better? I'm going to tell you you're rubbish, And it's gross and weird.
you still have your copy of the game, Mark?
Do you know what? I've never read one because, I've been in a long-term relationship since I was a teenager. And
you're a tiny child.
Tiny child. And I've never had to read poisonous dating books.
So many people forget now that the I think it was a cover quote or the maybe even the foreword to the game, one of the most rapey, awful books ever known to man, was by Russell Brand.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, friend to all women.
Yeah, I mean, I've never had to reinvent myself as a spiritual leader, so I don't know what goes into it. But I mean,
some people do call you a guru, Mark. But I know you like to calm down that kind of guru talk.
I have lied many times and said I was in the Mike Myers film The Guru. as a way of getting instant cachet.
I'd even forgotten that existed. That's amazing.
Oh, you want to see it? I'm in it. I think the halfway point, pretty much, because we're two people down.
It's suddenly
from
a short show. It's 11 dances rather than the whatever it was going to be, 14.
Manageable amount. I mean,
13.
I was certainly happier with that. But then we go on to dance number 7, which is Sara and Aliash doing their tango. Julia.
The tango?
Julia, was this something that you could take or leave?
Actually, I could take it very much in large spoonfuls.
I thought so.
Always. Well, because, I just, even though she's already done the surprise, I'm actually quite a good dancer reveal about twice now, I was still surprised. I'm like a dog who doesn't realize, the ball got thrown and then I realize it wasn't thrown, but then it still surprises me when the ball doesn't get thrown. I don't think I expected her to get this particular dance, but then I thought that about maybe all the other dances she's done.
Yeah.
he's just, the choreography is great. So Ali Ash's choreography was brilliant. And Craig said that slightly creepy thing about, I understand why Jeanette married you. Like, did you not get it before? He's fucking gorgeous.
That's lads things, isn't it? Lads humour, and it's the humour of Dan Walker, as far as I'm concerned, which is that the humour of the sports pitch is, you person who's good at football, got news for you. You're not good at football. And that was very much a, always thought you were a crap dancer.
But
that was all right. Everyone's negging. Neg week.
But this was the dance that Motsie screamed in German throughout, according to Craig. So he was like really out of sorts.
Yes.
But he did say he couldn't find anything wrong with it. And, you know, I couldn't either. I think Motsie and Shirley always get really excited when Sara dances and she sort of pulls another flawless routine out of the bag because they're just clearly so behind her. She comes across better and better every week in the VTs. It was really controlled. They said she looked really strong, that she was a phenomenal student because she is the one who's really almost like, oh, is it Ranveer last series, the series before?
Yeah.
One of those distinct things where week by week she's becoming a really good dancer, and I think I can totally see that in Sara. This was great.
I think watching this, you know, I again, because I'm not up on technique, I was watching this and thinking, I'm really enjoying this. A lot of it is down to the music, which I really like. I like the tango when it's done well.
Ooh,
and I was
too.
Like, this is done well. And I wasn't sure whether they were going to be saying, well, you know, unfortunately your bon pon mont was, you know, was at least on a wonk. But when the actual sort of the pros and the audience exploded, you go, oh, I think something special is happening here.
Yeah,
she could be a dark horse in this, and I really think so. I don't know if I can see her. The thing is, if she gets to the point where she's the final, she is the public sort of, you know, you just go, what a journey she's been on, because she's an older woman. No one had her pegged at the start. And, you know, as my wife pointed out, she said, don't forget how popular Ali Ash is with people who do, you know, who vote.
Oh, absolutely.
Who watch.
Yeah, he is much beloved, for sure.
And that could be a quite a potent combo.
I think you're right. She got 4-9.
4-9.
Straight to the top of the leaderboard.
I mean, I do sort of think, again, I would say, I know we're obviously pulling back and everything for week four with the judges, and they're supposed to be being difficult, but give the poor woman a 10.
I know.
You know, she's absolutely knocked it out of the park. Just chuck one in that she can go, and I got a 10, you know.
I know, exactly. I thought Anton maybe, but then he pretty much delivered his mission statement and said that until she corrects the angle of her head, he can't give her, and then he said a 12. But
yeah.
Yeah, I think at least one of them should have just thrown her a bone. I mean, it was just beautiful.
I really thought Shirley would. I thought it would be Shirley who would just sort of go, she called it off the chart. And
yeah.
9 is not off the chart.
It's
9 is
so much on the chart.
9 is, yeah. And it's
just
not
below the top of the chart.
It's literally not at the end of the chart, is it? It's 9/10 of the way through the chart. So I thought that was a shame. I think that was a missed opportunity. And I think it just could have, like these moments, you just want to take them over the top.
Yeah, exactly.
And they could have done that.
Like you said, week four is 60% week. No one could get 100% in 60% week. It's just not possible.
Not possible. Not possible. To get a 9 is like getting a 12 any other week.
Genuinely, yep.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers, with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's stamps.com. Code program.
Love football? Can't wait for the season to hit its stride. Salivate over Super Sunday? Well, this podcast is probably not for you. If, however, you're tired of the hype, but part of you still loves the game, you could try The Famous Sloping Pitch from Great Big Owl. With Chris England, Nick Hancock and guests. The Famous Sloping Pitch. It's a podcast about football, not market traders.
Dance 8, Dan and Nadia doing the cha-cha to...
You can't touch this.
I mean, I really, really thought that this would be a dance you'd go out on.
it was either him or Greg, wasn't it, this week?
Yeah. I mean, as an evangelical Christian, many things that Dan Walker's not allowed to touch. But, I mean, it's the whitest presentation of this song of all time.
Oh, very much so. And him and MC Hammer apparently have struck up a friendship on Twitter because of dancing to this track.
Stuck up a friendship after Dan has agreed never to do anything with this track again.
That was the condition of it, I think.
He had a look as well, because they dressed him up. It was a school disco and they hadn't dressed him as a sort of schoolboy. he dressed as a sort of geography teacher.
It kind of punked his hair up, though.
Yeah, it looked a little bit like a teacher dancing with a student who
was desperate. Yes, it really did.
And she looked great, by the way. Nadia, she looked really
in that gold thing,
80s sort of look. Yeah. And I thought that was fun, but the whole thing of it was
she looked like he'd made her in a lab in order to dance with her at the prom. Yes. And that's why his hair was on end, because there'd been an explosion in the lab.
Some divorced physics teacher who's created a dream student and thinks that everyone's going to cheer at the prom rather than he immediately gets arrested. And, you know, where did you even get the body parts? You know? you can't touch this. It's evidence.
Yes. it's behind tape.
I mean, this was just awful. This is the sort of dance that people who don't watch Strictly Come Dancing think Strictly Come Dancing
is
like.
Yes, agreed.
You know, and it needs to stop. It needs to end.
Again, he should have been the sacrificial lamb this week, really, because I think Greg did have a little bit more in him. And obviously, Latin was never going to be his friend. But I think Dan, I mean, no one's that bad. But I just don't really feel anything when I'm watching him. I'm a bit, and I really do like watching Nadia sometimes, but Dan, I just sort of feel a little bit about. And I think when the judges talk endlessly, every dance about, oh, haven't you got long legs?
Yeah.
It's like, that's not a personality. That's not a talent. It's just something you've noticed about him.
And his,
they struggle to say anything about him.
His ironic detachment makes it impossible, because when you say, you know, you've really got to do this, he's like, oh, yep, chance to be a fine thing. You know, you're a bit like, well, everything's just rolling off you. I have no emotional investment.
Yeah,
you know,
kind of.
You don't care. Why should I care?
And he got a 7s, apart from Craig, who gave him a 5. But he gave him a 3 last week, so that was an improvement. And Craig said something really weird about, your acting, your performance alone was worth the 1:30. And I thought, yeah, that's the best thing you can say.
Yeah, isn't it?
I think he's if not flatlined, he is plateaued, certainly.
Yeah.
He doesn't get better than this. I think if not next week, then Halloween, he's gone.
Yeah. I'd quite like him to get to Halloween, because I think they'll probably dress him up as Frankenstein. And I think visually,
that'll still just involve his skin being a slightly different colour and his hair being a little bit spiky.
Yes.
Like, they can't really seem to do anything that exciting to him. It just doesn't take.
A big vampire would be good. But then, of course, he'd have to move and it would be awful. Maybe a big spider. Put extra really long legs on him. Disgusting. Thing. I quite want him to stay in there. So then we had dance number 9, which was Judy Love and Graziano doing their waltz to the Mariah Carey song Hero.
Oh, so this is the aforementioned judge-proof dance, where obviously, you know, it was a very emotional one for her. It was dedicated to her late parents.
Yeah.
And that nothing about that VT suggested you could say it wasn't a good dance.
No.
Perhaps notice that it wasn't a good dance.
And so this is the X-factorization of Strictly, where you are making it impossible for the judges to do their job.
Yeah, to the point where they're saying, well, obviously, I'm not going to talk about the dance.
Yeah.
Like, well, hang on, MCP.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about the technique. I'm not going to say anything bad. Well, is everyone going to have one of these and they just go in a week where I feel a bit like I might go?
Is it like playing your Joker?
Exactly like that. I mean, you can do it like that, can't you?
And maybe you could do it like that. Everyone gets one of them.
I mean, I hated it. I didn't hate it. I hate the sort of I understand you want to pay tribute on television, but you can do that when they vote you off. You can go, well, I just want to say I've dedicated all the dances to my mum and dad, you know, and that's been a really important thing. You don't have to do it when you're facing, you know, effectively the mechanism of the show.
Oh, but in Judy's defence, though, I would guess this is entirely production and editorial thing to say, right, what's the story this week then? We haven't got one of these. Let's have one of these.
Yeah.
Any, got anyone dead we can do the dance for? Yeah. You know, I doubt it's that heavy handed, but I don't doubt that that probably wasn't her intention.
Yeah.
But, you know, as a dance, I mean, they played me like a cheap piano. I did actually feel a lot when I watched her dance in a way that just, you know, I don't when, say, Tilly dances, however good she is.
True.
When Judy did this dance, I was surprised by how emotional it was. I think she was feeling it and she transmitted it beautifully. And they did. They wouldn't talk about the technical stuff, so God knows whether it was technically rubbish or not. We don't know.
Yeah.
I liked the experience of watching it and I got the sentiment of it.
Well, as Craig said, I mean, he said, I'm not going to talk about the technique, but I did think it was danced beautifully.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting sort of thing of saying, you know, you dance with your heart to some degree. And
it was danced beautifully. Here's a four.
Yes, yeah, that's
okay,
true.
Got you. Thanks yeah. so much.
I can't remember which judge it was. I think it might have been Craig, but he also said, I'm loving the partnership. And again, that very much mm-hmm. the you seem nice, but you're not good at dancing way of saying it.
And obviously, as we know, she did end up in the dance off again. So she's clearly not getting the public vote.
No.
So her score wasn't the worst of the night, but he did give her a four. And then Motsi a six and the other two were sevens.
Yeah.
But I think the sevens were genuinely because of the fear of looking like you were handing a five to a sad woman.
You know, you can't kick someone when they are, you know, literally down.
When they're telling you beautiful music that they're down.
Exactly, yeah. a classic bit of Tess echoing as well on this one. So
really? I missed
Motsi said, I just wanted to hug you. And Tess, out of vision, you heard her go, I wanted to hug you too. that's Motsi's line. Motsi just said that. You don't need to go, I wanted to do it as well, and that's better somehow. Just odd.
You can't stand Tess. I'm going to get to the bottom of this one day. Something's happened. Something's caused this. Because she's not that objectionable.
It has. I've watched her too many times. Dancers number 10 was Adam Peaty and Katya. Doing their tango.
So, no, the Argentine tango, Mark. This is the crucial thing. Everyone, especially, I don't know if it's just a woman thing. Maybe it's a woman who flushes regularly and is that sort of, you know, the autumn of her life. Everyone looks forward to an Argentine tango because it's guaranteed to be really, really sexy and kind of dramatic, and the lifts are amazing. And this one, I think and then add in Katya, sex in a bottle.
Well, sex Katya is back.
And she's allowed to be in it. We glory in it every week. But I didn't enjoy this as much as I'd wanted to.
What?
I think. Because there was so much lifting and using the fact that he's basic. It's not a weightlifting competition. But I liked the first lift where she kind of formed herself into a human plank. It was wildly
like a piece of luggage. I loved it.
But the bit that your flushing hormonal woman really wants to see is the tangly, kicky leg shit that they do. That's the clever bit. That's the bit that both generates a lot of kind of chemistry and heat, and also is and impressive because it's sort of like low-level fireworks, the way they can interlock and flick their legs around without, you know, doing each other serious injury or her kicking him in the balls.
Yeah.
And there wasn't enough of that for me, so there was lots of big risky lifts and things. But he's a big beefy lad. He can do lifting till the cows come home.
Yeah.
I didn't want to see so much of that. I wanted to see the kind of intricate, sexy, sizzling stuff, and I didn't quite get it.
Oh, I mean, I really, really loved this one. I thought this was great.
Did you?
It was like watching, I don't know, like a monkey trying to kiss a lizard that was scrabbling all around it. I thought it was brill. I thought it was really sort of I thought she was great. She was just like Mercury rolling over a cliff, and he was this great big sort of he was just so sort of like, you know, stoic and masculine like Atlas, and I thought it was When I first watched it, I thought, this has been choreographed so he doesn't have to do any leg movement.
Yeah.
This is so he can stay as still as possible, and she can just do all the hard work by going around her. But I actually just sort of thought, you know what, it was like Black Magic from the 80s, a big box of those chocolates. It felt sort of like, you know, sexy and sort of 80s and arty, and I really, really liked it. I really enjoyed it.
I think they were going for that, but yeah, I think I'm... I didn't, because there was a lack of stillness. I think, I know the tango, the Argentine tango isn't still per se, but there's certainly moments of tension and kind of, here it comes, here it comes. And another fabulous thing, this for me felt a bit like how I imagine Reese and Nancy will do an Argentine tango when they eventually do.
Yeah.
As in, it's just a bit too, all right, slow down. I can enjoy that. No, go back to that bit. Oh, no, I've missed it now. I wanted a little bit more... tension and kind of anticipation of a big thing.
A bit of sizzle, yeah. A bit of sizzle, not just some steak.
Well, maybe, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I wanted to start drooling before something amazing happened. I didn't have time to drool. You know? But obviously, anything involving Katya doing those incredible lifts was going to be sexy. It wasn't not sexy, but I just, yeah, I think it was too much bang and not enough whatever you have before the bang.
As it stopped, I thought, I have no idea what the judges are going to make of this. I thought they might just go, absolutely, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And I was surprised in a way.
Blocky.
Yeah, yeah.
He said it was theatrical and brilliant, but a bit blocky. And I sort of like, yes, I think that's how I felt too.
Yeah, and Shirley said a huge comeback from last week. I mean, what a difference. You were dressed as the Wombles from Avatar.
I mean, it was horrible.
Last week.
And that wasn't their fault, really.
Yeah, and then you come back and you're basically a sort of like, background scene in a really good James Bond film. Yeah. You know, I really enjoyed this. I thought it was great. I would say I enjoyed this dance as much as anything I saw.
Well, that's good. I did not enjoy it, but I think my expectations are always sky high for an Argentine. And they got eights across the board, which is no shame at all for week four. I think that's very good.
Yeah.
Obviously, tons better than last week. I still think they're a couple to watch for sure. But if they're just going to use him as this giant kind of beefy totem around which she frolics, then I'm not sure that'll get them all the way through to the final. But we'll see.
No, I think you're absolutely right on that. She looked brilliant. I think this was one of those.
She did look really gorgeous.
Yeah, a great performance. You know, just as good a dancer she's done since, you know, being partnered with Ed Balls.
Oh, steady on. I like the way as well upstairs with Claudia. She did kind of roar like, "We are back!"
Yeah,
crazed like the trophy. Fear's back in my sights kind of way, and I like it when she gets all fighty and kind of silly in pursuit of a tacky plastic ball.
The 11th dance, which was the final dance of the night, was AJ Adudu and Kai.
And obviously they're saving AJ to the end because we all know she's bankably marvellous and will do a great job.
Completely. And it's 60% week, and so she did 60% of a great job.
But Craig, I mean, Craig marked her a 5, which I think was... astonishing. He said technically that this samba was really poor. So either there wasn't the bounce required, or because, you know, her legs, her incredible long legs, were flicking about and she appeared to be moving in unison with Kai. And I don't know, I didn't see what he saw, but then I guess I'm not the technique wizard.
I watched it and I was like, it didn't feel like a smash for me, and I didn't know why. It just had something missing that I was like, this isn't moving me in any way.
You weren't drunk enough.
No. I mean, this is the week where they just sort of go, we have to throw everything up into the air, and all of the favourites we say aren't very good, and all of the people who aren't very good we say you're really getting it.
Yeah,
and
I need a bumpy week.
Yeah, and I mean, this was a 5, a 7 and 2 8s. That seemed fair to me across the board, really.
From a 5 to an 8, though, is quite a leap, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think the guys who didn't mark down, so I think Shirley and Anton were sort of largely positive, but they did talk about the technicals, the leg action and stuff. But he said, you know, that AJ never strikes a bad line. She does look like a dancer. She does. Looks right up there.
Yeah.
But obviously we're now not seeing the tiny little things. And samba's really hard. That weird rolling hip thing you have to do. I mean, I don't know how anyone would do it. But yeah, overall, I think she didn't get the greatest score, did she? Yeah, 2 8s, a 7 and a 5.
Not at all. No one could really quite put their finger on what it was, but it just seemed like, you know, it's just week 4.
She wasn't top of the pops this week. So we ended up with Sarah at the top of the leaderboard, followed by Tilly and Adam. And then obviously poor old Greg right down the bottom with some considerable distance between him and everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. And of course,
then cameth the dance-off.
That's right. And I mean, you know, what a thing. It's like a bit like going to war with a penknife, isn't it? When you go, we've got the dance-off and you go, what have we got? We've got our salsa to the bloody Macarena.
Yeah.
You're like, I mean, is there any point us redancing it? Shall we let them do theirs twice and then we'll go home?
I know. But it's Judy I feel really sorry for, because obviously, great, she gets to come back next week, but she must be so sick.
Yeah.
Of that bloody red bulb over her head. It's like, what does she have to do?
Yeah.
I think if they give her something really upbeat and party again next week, then she probably won't be in the dance-off, but they're just kind of throwing her to the wolves a little bit, I slightly feel.
Yeah, and once, of course, you know, you begin to get that, you've been in the dance-off 2 weeks running, it's a death spiral, isn't it? You know,
it can be.
There's no real way to pull out.
But yeah, I think if you're in the drop zone the week you wheeled out, forgive me, your much-missed, relatives.
Your big emotional punch.
That's problematic, isn't it?
Yeah. It is, yeah.
And I return to the fact that the British public is just a giant bunch of racists floating on a shitty little raft.
Yep.
And Europe is well shot of us. we always don't vote for the black women. Women don't do well in That's reality true. Competitions, but there we go.
Do you know what I found strange about this as well? We're two people down and there didn't seem to be any padding in this show. So I don't know what happened to the sort of extra 11 minutes or so.
I would say that's the genius of Tess Daly. You didn't notice her padding, Mark. Padding she was. She had jokes, she had little looks to camera.
Oh.
No, I think what they're always doing, though, this show, in all seriousness, there's just an endless contingency, I imagine, for, obviously they were thinking COVID, so Tom and Amy, they enacted that last week or the week before, and then obviously now Rob's gone out early. I was surprised someone went home this week. I thought they might hold back on that, and obviously Hugo not being there, I think they just subtly tweak up.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why Jamie bloody Lang got to plug his show. He'd have been in and out in like 60 seconds.
Do you know what I'd like to see, though? I'd like to see them say, look, if we have that happen again, just put 11 minutes at the end. We'll just bank up all the time and then we just do a conga for 11 minutes.
Oh, that would have been lovely.
I think that would be brill.
Sadly, COVID restrictions do not allow for congas currently. They're not allowed to touch each other.
What about the hokey cokey? Contingency plan. So we will be back next week for week five.
Inevitably for week five, Mark, because it follows week four.
That's right. Disappointingly, week five isn't Halloween week. I think that's the week after, is it?
It feels like it should be. We've got another whole week to go because Halloween falls on a weekend this time. So we're going to have to wait.
Oh, I like Halloween the most.
I want it to be now.
Who do you think is going to be in trouble next week, Julia?
I don't like saying this, but I would have said Hugo might not be there forever and ever much more, because I don't think, in terms of male celebrities and the levels they're attaining and where they're sort of hitting their head on the ceiling, I think he and Dan Walker are probably not a million miles apart from each other.
Yeah.
In terms of where they might have left to go or what they've got left to give. So, I mean, I think probably Dan, possibly Hugo, but then maybe, you know, that would be a bit cruel, his first week back after back injury, if indeed he does come back.
Yeah.
But I puzzle over over Judy Love and whether her lack of public votes means that she doesn't have much longer to go, or whether next week she'll bounce back up. Who knows?
I do slightly look at it, though, and I do sort of go, when I look down the names of everybody, if not Judy Love and Dan Walker, who? And the reality is, when you're looking at, like, you know, from the female perspective, Tilly and Rose and you've got Sarah, they're all safe. You know,
yeah, I think so. I think Rose particularly, she must be so popular with the audiences at home.
Yeah. And look, I think it's going to be really complex. So well. Once you do get rid of Dan Walker and you get rid of Hugo and you get rid of Judy Love, then it does become very difficult to work out who's going to go when.
Yeah.
I mean, that really is going to be a tough one, which is, you know, it's how it should be. The whole thing is up for grabs.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, stick Squid Game up your arse. You know, Squidly Come Dancing. That's what they should rename it.
Oh, my God.
This is going to be an absolute bloodbath in the following weeks. And I, for one, am here for it.
So here for it. Thank God.
Fantastic. We'll both be here for it. And we will see you next week. Julia, thank you so much.
No, pleasure. Always.
Have a great one.
You too, M.
And do you, who wants to do the end bit?
You. You're always you.
Till next week, then, Kia. listening, we're kind of reviewing. Bye.
Bye.
greatbigowl.com.
Hello, I'm Justin.
And I'm Lucy.
And together we are the hosts of Plenty Questions.
It's a very straightforward general knowledge quiz.
We ask you 20 questions, one after the other, 5 second gap in between, and you shout the answers out.
And then you tweet us to let us know how you've got on.
See if you can get 20 out of 20. No one has so far, but that's because we haven't started doing it yet.
But we will. And there's also going to be some fiendish brain teasers, so join us for Plenty Questions.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.